He put his hand back up and took out two books and moved his hand down and dropped the two books to the floor. He kept moving his hand and dropping books, small ones, fairly large ones, yellow, red, green ones. When he was done, he looked down upon some 20 books lying at his wife's feet. "I'm sorry," he said. "I didn't really think, but now it looks as if we're in this together." Mildred backed away, as if she were suddenly confronted by a pack of mice that had come up out of the floor. He could hear her breathing rapidly, and her face was paled out, and her eyes were fastened wide. She said his name over, twice, three times. Then, moaning, she ran forward, seized a book, and ran toward the kitchen incinerator. He caught her, shrieking. He held her, and she tried to fight away from him, scratching. "No, Millie, no! Wait! Stop it, will you? You don't know! Stop it!" He slapped her face. He grabbed her again and shook her. She said his name and began to cry. "Millie," he said, "listen. Give me a second, will you? We can't do anything. We can't burn these. I want to look at them. At least look at them once. Then, if what the captain says is true, we'll burn them together. Believe me, we'll burn them together. You must help me." He looked down into her face and took hold of her chin and held her firmly. He was looking not only at her, but for himself and what he must do in her face. "Whether we like this or not, we're in it. I've never asked for much from you in all these years, but I ask it now. I plead for it. We've got to start somewhere here, figuring out why we're in such a mess. You and the medicine knights and the car and me and my work, we're headed right for the cliff, Millie. God, I don't want to go over. This isn't going to be easy. We haven't anything to go on, but maybe we can piece it out and figure it and help each other. I need you so much right now, I can't tell you. If you love me at all, you'll put up with this 24, 48 hours. That's all I ask. Then it'll be over. I promise. I swear. And if there's something here, just one little thing, out of a whole mess of things, maybe we can pass it on to someone else." She wasn't fighting anymore, so he let her go. She sagged away from him and slid down the wall and sat on the floor looking at the books. Her foot touched one, and she saw this and pulled her foot away. "That woman the other night, Millie, you weren't there. You didn't see her face. And Clarice, you never talked to her. I talked to her. And men like Beatty are afraid of her. I can't understand it. Why should they be so afraid of someone like her? But I kept putting her alongside the firemen in the house last night, and I suddenly realized I didn't like them at all, and I didn't like myself at all anymore. And I thought maybe it would be best if the firemen themselves were burnt."
"Guy!"
The front door voice called softly. "Mrs. Montag, Mrs. Montag, someone here, someone here, Mrs. Montag, Mrs. Montag, someone here," softly. They turned to stare at the door, and the books toppled everywhere, everywhere in heaps.
"Beatty," said Mildred.
"It can't be him."
"He's come back," she whispered.
The front door voice called again softly. "Someone here?"
"We won't answer."
Montag lay back against the wall, and then slowly sank to a crouching position and began to nudge the books bewilderedly with his thumb, his forefinger. He was shivering, and he wanted above all to shove the books up through the ventilator again, but he knew he could not face Beatty again. He crouched, and then he sat, and the voice of the front door spoke again more insistently. Montag picked a single small volume from the floor.
"Where do we begin?"
He opened the book halfway and peered at it. "We begin by beginning, I guess."
"He'll come in," said Mildred, "and burn us and the books."
The front door voice faded at last. There was a silence. Montag felt the presence of someone beyond the door, waiting, listening. Then the footsteps going away down the walk and over the lawn. "Let's see what this is," said Montag. He spoke the words haltingly and with a terrible self-consciousness. He read a dozen pages here or there and came at last to this. "It is computed that 11,000 persons have at several times suffered death rather than submit to break their eggs at the smaller end. Mildred sat across the hall from him.
What does it mean? Doesn't mean anything. The captain was right.
Here now, said Montague. We'll start over again at the beginning.